Welcome to the Halloween special of Radio Sentai Cast Stranger!
I'm a pink ghost! Ooh!
It's Linky.
He's just holding his arms straight up going, woo!
Wacky waving arm inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Off Route 8 in Weekapug!
Cue the roll call!
We're live!
Kaigan!
Equipment wielder, blue caster, Ichida's Azeel.
Respecting the source material, green caster, Zenshi.
Loyal and loud, pink caster, light red.
Explorer from the unknown, yellow caster, auto guard.
Trauma inducer, north caster, saga.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Otsukare!
Alright, welcome to episode 78, I believe, of Cast Ranger.
Yes,
so yes, plus nine.
Hopefully you're hearing this on All Hallows Eve, and if you are, if you're doing anything for Halloween, I wish you to have a safe, fun, and a little bit scary one.
If you're not cosplaying any tokusatsu characters, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Have a razor blade free Halloween.
Green Caster's back.
Oh!
I am!
Yeah, he finally woke up from his coma.
Bombs caster.
How was that? How was your coma? Yeah, your drunk-induced coma?
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. That was fine. I slip in and out of him all the time.
That was good.
So, Red Caster's not here. Also,
what?
Also, Black Caster's not here, but he's never here. But the point is, Red and Black Casters are actually in Detroit this weekend for YomaCon. The bastards.
Having fun.
I'm working alone in the office.
Oh, so you know how I said how my axe, it has the ability, it doesn't hurt people, it heals them?
How your axe and cannon is Tensega?
I found a secret feature that I can use to actually hurt and kill enemies with. The euthanize function. If I switch
what
it to euthanize,
fuck?
Then I can just
Are you
go,
just pitching me ideas for the game on the air?
Yeah, sure.
Jesus.
Yeah,
why
so
not?
Yeah, so my axe will have a euthanize feature.
By the way, so progress update on the Cast Ranger game that I'm working on. I managed to find a plugin that allows for more than four people in combat, so confirmed we will have six-person party combat.
All me!
I can, actually.
It'll just be six me's.
There should be, at some point, all of us all at once.
Maybe.
You know what? Go ahead, sir.
Pink casters, you just make a euthanasia joke.
Euthanasia!
I mean, I know it works because, tokusatsu originates from euthanasia. What's wrong with you?
Speaking of tokusatsu and death, Paul, what are your thoughts on Ghost?
So Greencaster hasn't talked about ghosts on the show so far, so...
Just yet.
Give us your spiel on the dead guy!
Well, you know what? This has been a big pet project for Harold Ramis. And,
and he's dead now.
Ghost. It's so great that even after Harold Ramis died, they decided to put this out. Bill Murray's in it. It's fantastic.
Is Inari? Is that who?
No, he's Sage.
I haven't seen Dan Aykroyd in the longest time. I love his vodka. I mean, you can tell.
Just like Senin shows up. Da 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 da!
Gar's losing his shit right now. Trying to hold his laughter.
In the end, Walter Peck's a dickless asshole, and Ghost is a pretty great Kamen Rider show. It's got elements that were great from both Drive and Gaim, and, obviously, there's some Ghostbusters feel to it. It's Japan, so it's more of an Onmyoji thing, but, they're ghost hunters, and, I've never seen a rider have to die to get his powers, and that's pretty interesting, and the characters are pretty cool, if not a little on the simple side. They're kind of... I'm a skeptic. I believe in all supernatural things.
Gar's just trying to think
sorry,
of any other riders.
Gar's just really thinking hard. Is there another Kamen Rider?
See the smoke coming from his head right now.
Kamen Rider Jack.
Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong.
We haven't watched that yet, so I don't know.
Yeah,
Inside Out was a great movie.
It was.
Also,
just all of them with the bus wheel.
Also, it's really great to see DJ Sagara again.
Yeah, he's comparing Senin to fucking
DJ Sagra.
He's totally DJ Sagra.
Can I postulate a fan theory here? He is actually DJ Sagra. He's just put on a different face.
Helheim's come to invade this dimension.
It's not even Helheim. I think he's just, I represent the supernatural aspect of things, and I'm the great cosmic douchebag.
He does kind of look like him.
Hi, the great cosmic douchebag.
You know what? He's cute!
Gaim is in it because the Sengoku Corporation, Ryoma Sengoku, obviously, he didn't die, he went to another city and decided to open up another corporation.
Can you imagine if this was just another universe in the process that is Gaim?
Oh my god.
Guys, Fize died to become a writer.
I guess.
Yeah?
Kakuga came back and became a writer again.
Anyways.
To the
still
episode.
On that.
Anywho.
Yeah.
It was just an off the cuff statement.
So,
but it's Gar.
Any other thoughts in general before we talk about the episode?
The helmet looks like War Greymon. I think that's pretty cool. Like a weird.
You're talking about Ore?
Yeah, it's like the weird love child between War Greymon and Slade Wilson.
Cool. I've been saying forever since we first saw the scan that it looked like Kamen Rider Deathstroke.
Yeah, it does look like Kamen Rider Deathstroke.
Oh my god, it does. It looks like Slade.
Yes, it does.
Who is Slade?
I call him Slade. You guys can call him whatever.
And you know what?
I should be calling him Slade because I all know him mostly from Teen Titans, so.
I dig the hoodie thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Cool. We all love it.
The hoodie is cool.
The great thing is all I need is a belt and I can basically cosplay my own Ghost Era Rider because I already have a vest with a hood and a mask. Mm-hmm.
So Ghost?
Poor man. I
also like the fact that he thwarts the villainous schemes of evil monsters manipulating humans with social work.
I like that he solves problems by hugging men.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I call it the ghost hug.
Yeah.
Yeah, hug.
Just every, like, two times now, he's gone up to the person, hugged them, and just be like, no. I can feel him. He wants to live.
It's like,
he wants
to live. Single teardrop.
Just imagine one time he actually, like, finds a person who genuinely does not want to live anymore and has, like, this ethical conundrum and winds up directing him to the nearest rope store.
Like, goodbye, world.
All right. Turns into a parking ghost.
No, he's gonna try and hang himself. He goes through it. Or he pulls in Homer Simpson. Goodbye, world. Hangs himself, tree falls over, hits the car.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Anyway, episode.
Alright, moving on to the episode discussion. So, wow. First off, I like that they keep adding the new forms to the opening. They're no doubt going to keep doing that.
Yeah. Can I also say that Robin Hood continues to be amazing.
Jesus Christ. Really loving Robin Hood.
Yeah, like Robin Hood's up there now with like my favorite Domitius.
It's episode 4 and we already have our first double Hesots. Omega's, I'm calling it Omega Strike Drive. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, like the book, it's called the Book Ganma, yeah, but it's based off the Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, he's my favorite Ganma so far. The Book Ganma was hilarious.
It's pretty cool.
I wasn't here last week. Can I talk about a Robin Hood form quickly?
Sure. Yeah.
It's a neat design. I like the green. It's a bit of a retool of Musashi a bit.
I can understand that.
I love the arrow. Like, I just love that weapon.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's neat.
I'm definitely getting the Condor phone.
It's so tiny.
We know.
The faceplate is cool, but besides from that, Edison's still my favorite form.
Robin Hood is not a real person.
Neither is the Mad Hatter.
Neither is
to me.
Neither is Kamen Rider.
I brought that up before, how, like, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, there was a Robert of Locksley, probably, but, like, there was no actual Robin Hood. See, what I found interesting, too, was the fact that the villain of this one, the Mad Hatter, yeah, that's a character. So what, they can turn from... Because we find out at the end that the
Ganma are powered up by items
by the item,
that represent the character.
The artifact itself, yeah, was the book, Alice in Wonderland. The Mad Hatter's a character, so we can do characters now? Okay, I guess.
Evidently.
Well, yeah, Robin Hood was a character.
He was so trollsy.
I suppose it does go by Fate's Day Night rules, where a character can become so popular and ingrained into social culture that they actually develop a personal presence in history.
You know,
Raven said that too last week, actually.
You know, like Donald Trump.
Yeah. Or, you know,
Trump Demashi!
Oh, God, he would
just
have
the wig!
He's
gonna have a comb over!
That's just the thing. That's just.
And it's gonna hate Mexicans!
I'm just picturing now at night, like, kids are going to, like, don't want to go to bed, and you better get to bed or else the Trump will get you.
Oh! Oh! Trump Demashi versus super fucking goddamn fucking Star Ninja! He's got a poncho, and Trump Demashi hates Mexicans!
It all makes perfect
sense!
Man.
Fuck Donald Trump!
I'm just picturing again, like, kids watching, like, the news. Mom? Dad? Donald Trump isn't real, right?
I want someone to link this to Donald Trump, and I want to hear him... I want him to hear me say, fuck that guy! I'm Canadian, what are you gonna do about it?
It's funny, everything he's saying is true, though.
Later,
so oh! You know what, if we can...
That's the most political I'll ever get on this show!
Nice hair, though.
If we can, Ichi, because he already said Trump Demashi, can we just get a picture of Ghost with, like, just the wig? Like, just Trump's hair on top?
No, I'll shove that somewhere in the thumbnail.
And the visor's a tie. Or no, it's money. It's a dollar bill sign.
It's burning money.
It's a shitty, ill-built tower that keeps closing Queen Street.
I'll figure something out.
But yeah, I loved the Robin Hood, like, final attack he did, because he, like, cloned himself, and just... Because, like, the book, Ganma was, like, circling around him with multiple clones, and then he decided, alright, fuck you, I'll just make 10 copies of myself and shoot in all the directions you're fucking spinning around.
You know, I have to admit, the Mad Hatter in this was rather mad, so I liked it.
Yeah, I liked when, like, he first encounters him, and he's, like, holding a God of the Billy, and goes, like, let him go, and he's like, okay, I'll let him go, on the ground, and just drops him,
and then,
I'm just like, whoa!
And then Ghost does the most badass thing, and with no hesitation, leaps off the fucking building, catches the dude, and lands on his feet.
And it fucking hurts.
Because he's dead, no problem, but wow, does it hurt.
Well, yeah, and, like, it was a very Batman-esque moment.
Yeah, just like, dan, 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 dan.
That's Superman.
Whatever. He's probably the first superhero I've ever seen acknowledge the fact that that fucking hurts.
Yeah.
Like, I catch someone and I land badassly on the street in the crouch position.
Oh my knees!
Give me a moment, my legs
are shattered.
The most painful thing that I've actually felt watching a movie, like, feeling the person's pain, was literally in Batman Begins when, like, Christian Bale's holding Liam Neeson, like, trying to lift him up with his one arm. I can feel how painful his arm is.
That's an interesting thought, though. Because here's the thing. Why don't they ever bring that sort of shit up in, like, any other type of superhero show? Like, why can they leap from large distances and not feel it? Because then, if they acknowledge it, you're thinking about it, and it just doesn't make sense. Wait, if that hurts, how can they even survive it? Why are they even moving on? But, because...
And Ghost, there's a perfectly logical explanation
because
for
it. Because he's dead, he can say all that shit, and they can't say, well, then if he can feel it, how come it doesn't kill him? Oh, wait.
And they actually use that concept to an even greater degree in the same episode, you know, when he drops the fucking floating island on himself.
Yeah, that was actually a clever little...
That was hilarious.
That was I think that's a very clever twist that they've taken with this.
Yeah.
So, like, kudos.
I'm gonna get crushed! I'm gonna get crushed! Don't you know your own powers yet? Oh, yeah.
I just love that moment where he's like, oh, yeah! Boom!
Yeah, no, that was rather good comedy, actually. My whole thing was, like, okay, someone saw Age of Ultron this year. Yeah.
No, the funny thing
is... That's what it was!
No, and you're right, but the really funny thing is, people who paid attention to this episode noticed that the footage of the city lifting and coming back down was ripped shot for shot from the O's Wonderful movie.
Really?
It's the exact same footage with different CG applied to it.
Really?
Yeah.
Absolutely, there was a comparison.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they did that, but...
You know what I love, though? The bad guy's reasoning why they did it. Like, you know, they take the whole section of the city and raise it above. Why are you doing this? So that they will listen to you. They will follow you because...
So you can be Nobunaga and have your own floating castle!
That's the why would people listen to that? Granted, it's interesting.
Unite Japan!
The first introduction to the president, though, was really funny, because he's just like, alright, we gotta find a way to control the Japanese economy. And I'm like... Alright!
Okay, sir.
Good luck with that!
Oh, and you have fun. You go
play over there.
Now I'm just picturing this guy, like, you know, he's like got the mind of a child, and he's saying to his mom, "I'm going to control the Japanese economy." Oh, I'm sure.
That's nice, dear.
Did you take over the Japanese economy? Yeah, I did. The dragon. A floating island.
Some ghost help me.
But, okay, son.
Yeah, with regards to the whole taking advantage of him being dead, I foresee lots and lots of great moments this whole show like this.
No. I'm just picturing, sorry, I just have this flash in my head now of like this whole thing fails and he's actually upset and he goes home and he's like that little kid mentality. Mom, I didn't work. I didn't get to control the economy of Japan. Aw, want to go get some ice cream, champ? Let's go get some ice cream. You okay?
Mom, I wanted to be Nobunaga!
There was one thing that, again, there's another thing that was shown off in the last episode that I wasn't able to talk about. It was the spray that...
Oh, yeah, Akari's fucking foof of gold dust.
All right, there goes the Akiba Ranger joke that I was hoping for.
You know what I loved in this episode, too? How long it took them to realize that all the attacks or whatever were in the pattern of an eye.
Yeah.
That was just like, how incredibly blatant was that?
Yeah.
No, it's Inari being, Onari being super concerned. He's like, no, don't draw on it. It's not yours.
I couldn't believe that there was a reverse giant claw situation going on here.
Oh, yeah, Inari.
A point to anyone who gets that.
Like, to me, Onari is no longer annoying. I can actually,
I never found him annoying.
Me neither.
At first, he was annoying as shit, and now it's like, I can deal with it.
Can we talk for a second about
it? It's just like how when Gar moved in.
Can we talk for a second about Onari's goddamn business cell phone and its hilarious ringtone?
What's the ringtone?
I don't even remember what it was. I just remember it being funny.
Oh, I thought you meant like it was like an actual...
No, but he has like a little like iPhone or whatever. And he's got like a...
iPhone.
Kangen! That's a text noise.
Also, Sage in the fucking onesie. I hate these costume changes.
He's in a goddamn Kigurumi for some reason.
Paul is fucking yelling at the horse dick.
Oh, yeah.
Literal horse cock.
Besides or not, there's another funny thing in the episode. It's where when Takaru is following the female.
Risa Sakuma?
Yeah. But, like, he's sneaking... While being invisible, why?
Oh yeah,
are you sneaking?
I made that comment a week or two ago too. I'm like, dude, you're visible. You don't have to fucking skulk.
It's like in Ninja Turtles Fast Forward. They're still sneaking around. It's like, guys, you can just easily walk around. There's aliens around.
See, the problem with that analogy is that requires any of us to have watched Fast Forward.
I did.
I know you did.
All right, so you guys get it.
So not yesterday.
Shut up, Paul.
The costume choices for the female protagonist of this show.
Oh, Akari?
Remind me so much of Janine from Ghostbusters. So every single time.
At the record, I keep thinking,
we got one! Paul.
While Lane likes calling it the Ghost Pit, and I respect that, I've taken to calling their underground base the firehouse. That's on air. That's what I'm calling it from now on.
Now watch there be an actual fire.
You know what? What I thought was weird though, his Ghost Naginata mode. That's not Naginata.
I know. They also call it the Halberd mode, which it's not either.
It's a swallow.
I'll swallow.
We all know you will.
Maiden name Spitz.
No, but the funny thing is, like, it's supposed to be like effective against fighting multiple enemies,
which I guess it will be. But the fact, like, what? Just here's what I don't get. That feels like it would have been a translation error if it wasn't for the fact Naginata is a Japanese word.
No, I know, but it is actually called Naginata mode.
That's what I mean. Like, they say Naginata.
But the thing is...
It's not a Naginata. Like, maybe we're missing something because we're all white.
I understand they had to debut it because it's a thing the toy does, but I don't really see how it would be effective in that situation. It doesn't make the weapon longer or anything.
It just makes it double-sided.
Yeah,
it
didn't really help in that situation because the enemies were on both sides of
it
them.
It really made, well, I mean, like, that's what I was expecting him to do. Is he going to do, like, a spin thing, like, around his head? That would have made more sense.
That's what I was expecting.
I don't know. It really did. I guess you're right. It really came to a showed off this episode.
And either way, Omega Stream was pretty nice to watch.
I mean, it's a cool form for the weapon, but it's just, it's not a Naginata.
I know. Neither was Gaim's Naginata mode.
Maybe we're just stupid and white, I don't know.
Well, we are, but that's beside the point.
It's not important right now.
one thing I want to bring up is basically, it has two problems with it. One is the Newton icon.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that next.
Oh, God, yeah, that's canon!
Yeah, can we talk about how Drive 48's Ghost Special is evidently canon? No,
that's not the thing that I'm talking about. It's like, so we still don't know how he got
exactly. it. Exactly. And no, we had a theory, because seeing as the villains have been trying to get the icons by driving these people to kill themselves, it's safe to say that they succeeded in killing someone to produce Newton Icon.
So 0-4.
Yeah.
Did they drop them from a building?
Let's hope.
No, it's gravity.
Don't worry, humans can fly.
I'm told I've made this joke before, and I'm sure I have, but I find it both hilarious and face-punchingly annoying that the gravity-based Isaac Newton-themed Dimashi is a down jacket.
Yeah. Yes, you did mention that.
That's really funny.
Entirely the joke.
But yeah,
I mean, it's almost like Japan likes its puns.
seeing the Newton Damashii for the first time in action, like, it's powerful, man. Like, it was able to repel a fucking city up.
It's clearly the Sagozo form.
Yeah, but no, it's great. And
it also had gravity powers.
Yeah, I like how he has his different hands do, like, different things. One repels, one attracts. Like, yeah. That's really funny.
Designed by Eddie Bauer.
One thing that's cute though about Newton form is the app, like the faceplate, how it's like an apple
with a down arrow.
Oh, I love it.
It's adorable. It's like, oh.
And I have to say, Ring a Newton form's chime is my favorite so far. Ringo got a car. He is in my car.
So basically,
sorry for my terrible singing.
That's over with.
Hello. Mine's still Edison's chime, but I also like Robin Hood's a lot now.
Can we please finally talk about Spectre?
Oh, yes. Yeah, him.
Let's talk about Spectre.
Honestly, Daniel Craig's going to be amazing just like he always is.
Christoph Waltz is going to be great.
Don't even get me started.
I love the fact that Dave Bautista's in it as an enforcer.
Did you hear about what he used for his audition for that movie?
What did he use?
He used the scene between James Bond and Lechiffe when Lechiffe was pulverizing James Bond's testicles with a knotted piece of
rope. Have you heard the Sam Smith song that they're going to use? It's actually rather nice. I mean, it's not as, like, epic as you would have thought, but I think it's very subdued. So, yeah, that's what I think about Spectre.
Does it have Bond crescendos? And you're like,
yes.
Yeah. A few.
Paul, okay. I'm kidnapping you to see that movie.
So that's what we thought of Spectre.
All right, so now let's talk about Kamen Rider Spectre.
Yeah. Oh, that.
Oh, him.
So, yeah, this dickweed swoops in and steals Nobunaga and says, fuck you, and runs off.
Well, no, it's more like...
I like him!
No, it's like Takeru. He's like... Come on, buddy. Spectre, like, jumps in front of him and it's like, come
join me in battle or die.
It's like, cool.
Not actually die.
Come join me.
Yeah,
I'm getting a lot of Kaito vibes from him.
Just like, join me in battle. Down.
Yeah.
So down.
Yeah, but you can already tell it's going to be a Spectre form because of the two horns.
See, that's the thing. Until this week, I would have agreed with you, but we saw from the scans that fucking Spectre gets Edison form, so that doesn't mean shit anymore!
It means Jackal!
Again, the show plays belt mechanics fucking out the window!
I do like how it's violet, though. Nobunaga.
Yeah, well, Nobunaga things are usually purple-themed, aren't they?
Mm. Eh. If Raven was here, even though I'm in
I'm pretty sure I've seen other Nobunaga-related things where he was wearing a purple outfit.
Just Spectre's design is just... Oh my, I love that.
I've loved everything about Spectre since I first saw him.
It's a Tron blue. That's
plus,
what
like, the designs on his, like, limbs look like sound waves. It's awesome.
No, yeah, no, Spectre's really cool.
Also, the two horn thing actually looks better.
And
than
yes, it looks I better love the two
than the unicorn.
Yeah, yeah no,
you know why I like the horns on this one? They're short.
Yeah.
They're there, but they're, like, subdued, I want to say.
Although I should point out that based on what we saw the figure arts, it looks like when he gets his Houdini form, which is where he combines with the bike, the horns seem to get longer.
Well, yeah, I guess. You know, I'm going to say in general, the horns have really grown on me. No, for real. I actually, like, originally I thought that was going to be something that would kill it for me, like the tires in Drive, which still do.
Yeah, me too.
I actually, the horns have grown on me. Immensely.
I actually love the horns right from the get-go, because on Ghost, the long horn kind of... pulls out the whole summoner look, which matches his theme, because he's summoning spirits of the dead.
Sorry, I have to make this joke.
Now please welcome the summoner.
A sight for sore eyes! Anyone watch American Dad or listen to Wax Fang?
I watched American Dad, but I don't remember that.
But I was going to make
Welcome to Summoner's Rift.
Personally, I'm just looking
for... Stay away from the Summoner!
Personally, I'm just...
There, I made the F of 10 joke.
Dude, personally, I'm just looking forward to the day when we have enough Dimashi to be able to use ghost footage to dub epic rap battles of history.
Yeah! Oh my god!
Edison! Versus Nobunaga! Begin!
We just dubbed that over, like, when Ghost and Spectre fight?
No! All we need to do is just take the Thomas Edison versus Nikola Tesla epigraph battle of history and put it over the Thomas Edison-Nikola Tesla episode of Ghost.
Yeah, which was a thing.
Tesla, Nikola.
Can I just mention right now how pissed off I am that they decided to make a Tesla coil the villain for that episode?
I thought that was hilarious.
I want to beat the shit out of the person that decided that Nikola Tesla is the villain in that historical quarrel.
That was hilarious.
I almost wonder if that was self-aware. Like, it came to the point of like, okay, look, we understand that Tesla was the real brain behind all this. Let's fuck with them.
Well, they did explicitly state when they were talking about, like, Edison history facts. He's the guy who modified / perfected the light bulb.
You mean, like, how Tesla invented it?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And the company was called Sengoku.
Yeah. Yep. Because Nobunaga.
Thomas Edison.
Nobunaga was a warlord in the Sengoku era.
Okay, I didn't know that.
But next.
Yeah, that's when Raven would have smacked you.
Yeah, he would have.
In fact, I'm going to front on his behalf.
Ow.
So next week we get
My
to see.
My mother hits harder.
Spectre's official debut.
Yay!
I really did love how he just dipped. Where it's just like, well, goodbye.
I got the ghost. Fuck you. Bye.
No, it was literally, he pulled, like, when Decade had the black card, and then Dan just fucking swiped out his hand. He's like, nope, this isn't for you.
And the best part is, Sennin knew about it and didn't say anything, which means Sennin is another belt son.
Oh.
I finally get it.
Or he's another DJ Sagara.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spectre's Gary Oak!
Oh!
I got something before you. Later, loser.
Smell you later.
That's actually a very good melody.
He's going to be running around throwing around his 10 Kanto badges.
He just drives by in a car with a bunch of bitches in the back.
Spectre, he's our man.
Just like, ha, you suck. I didn't have to die to get my powers.
And that's when it turns out Sage is his grandfather.
Oh my god. He calls him Gramps, and he's like, that's why I don't want you to call me Gramps, Takeru.
This is one of the only times I ever wished.
God damn it, I'm imagining a video game that starts with Gramps just on the screen being all like, welcome to the wonderful world of being a ghost. Now, are you a boy or a girl?
You know, this is the only time ever now I wish that the main character was red. He just stays in Musashi form.
Yeah.
Like Lane was about to say, that would probably bring up why he doesn't, like, argue with Takeru by saying, stop calling me Gramps, because he's probably used to being called Gramps.
Uh-oh.
Oh, maybe.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Overall, I liked the episode. I thought it was a good one.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was fun to see an Age of Ultron ripoff in a tokusatsu. That's what it was.
Oz did it first!
Technically, Oz did it first.
Well, technically, no one watched Oz.
Superman.
Okay.
So technically, that's Superman.
In the Oz movie, the city did fly up, but then it fucking turned around and then it was turned into a feudal era Japan. So.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Superman Returns did it first.
Sure.
And that flying continent.
Yeah, I saw those. Those are cool. Are showing us fan-made Rider Damashis based off the Neo Heisei ones.
So, in the spirit of Halloween, werewolf ninjas?
The ninjas!
Oh my god, that's excellent timing.
So the episode starts with the two plot rangers fighting.
Episode 25!
Yeah, this was a heavily Kenji Nagi episode, and you know what? I really liked that it was, because Nagi's cool! He's Kasumi even said it, like, you know, he's grown up, and yes, he's grown up, because, like, in episode, I think it was, like, episode 2 or 3 or something, the ninja, like, the episode where Nagi was, like, trying to prove himself, and he, like,
it was 3.
And he, like,
fucked up super hard. But now, like, he's even, like, going to the point where he's trying to develop his own techniques, which is shows that he's really maturing.
Which was awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
Very mature, Kinji.
But yeah, like, Nagi. But Kinji and Nagi had, like, a cool sparring match, which was awesome. And Kinji whooped his ass, of course.
I just think it's funny that everyone keeps forgetting this is a fucking competition, and he's practicing his secret move, which is going to be his ace in the hole in the last ninja race,
I keep forgetting
in front of everyone.
And then he had to use Chozets to fucking perfect it.
Actually, what Ichi just brought up, I actually forgot about that.
The show
I know, right?
Don't worry, the show tends to as well.
Yeah.
Watch it, like, around January.
Every couple of weeks, something just snaps in their heads, and they just go... Oh yeah, fuck everyone.
The competition.
No, it's going to be like in January. That's going to be like the plot focus. It's going to be all...
Please, I hope this actually devolves into an actual race slash competition between them.
Because I did the math today. There's only going to be like 49 episodes of Ninja. We're on episode 35, so that leaves us with like...
We're on the home stretch. Yeah. Not actually.
Well, okay, once we hit December, we'll be on the home stretch.
In the end, I feel like the moral of this story is going to be no... Reality check. Being a ninja is a terrible fucking profession to get into.
So
you are literally murdering people for money.
So what you're saying is Takaharu's gonna win.
Probably.
Right. Yeah, and Kasumi...
No matter how much I don't want him to.
And Kasumi and Fuka will go off to actually getting careers because they're in school.
And
Davis will own a noodle cart.
And Ken will go around solving mysteries with Stingmon.
And then Ken... Oh, no, what? You forgot. Matt goes to Mars, even though he's...
And Yoli...
We've done this joke!
Okay.
Yoli married Ken as she promised she would.
Okay, so...
Kenji's fucked up!
I noticed the thing first off. So, it's been pretty well established that Kyuemon is male, correct?
Yeah.
Anyone else notice that Kenji has been calling Kyuemon One-san, which means big sister? Which makes this really creepy.
Pretty creepy.
I'm starting to wonder if maybe they've intended Kyuemon to be actually gender neutral.
I feel like they have, actually, because, like, again, going with the whole, like, folklore of it all, wasn't that a thing in, like for Fox Ghost could be male or female?
I couldn't say for sure. Raven would know better than I
would. I'm going to look that up, because I feel like that was a thing, and maybe that is what they're going for, because he is referred to as male. Hell, spoilers, at the end of the next episode, we see Guy take off a mask...
Yeah.
It is the guy underneath. So, but it is a female voice. Like, the voice actor is female, right?
Yeah.
Even I kept calling Kyuemon a female.
We all did! The subs did!
Yeah.
You idiot! We all thought it was female!
It's not that but, a werewolf.
But yeah, I just noticed that this week, and I'm like, oh.
You know what? Like, maybe that's, you know, that is... generally a more acceptable thing in Japanese stuff, where male and female are interchangeable and stuff. But, you know, I almost wonder, imagine if when this becomes a Power Rangers thing, if they'll play that angle. Because Power Rangers tries to be progressive as it can be.
Well,
they're going to go straightforward as female.
Oh, here you go. Kitsune have, according to yokai folklore, all foxes have the ability to shapeshift into men or women.
Okay.
Oh.
So, I feel like that, again, like, the show has done that. With, like, their yokai folklore. Like,
yeah.
On more, like, with the actual legends. That's probably what it was the whole time.
Again, if...
She is meant to be gender neutral.
I guess.
Again, if the narrator was here, he would have explained it in, like...
You mean announcer.
Announcer, yes.
The other thing I noticed, which I should have noticed a long time ago, Masakage actually has a mustache.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that.
I saw that up close this week, and I'm like, when was that there?
Oh, I noticed that weeks ago.
I just love how you said that.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's new. Masakage, how long has it been? I've been cultivating this specimen for a week now.
Now know why I've been away for a while.
I'll be honest, I can't wait to see his freaking death. I don't know, I just hate him so... He feels like a ripoff of a Barrel from Tokyuger. That's what he feels like to me.
You mean Baron Nero?
Yeah.
See, I thought you were talking about Barrel from Sailor Moon.
Also, I loved again that Masakage, like, went over to Kyuemon and was just like, the fuck are you planning? Are you planning to, like, take over us? And he's like, no.
Nah, I'm just digging around.
It was literally just a Mark Wahlberg from The Happening.
What? No! Why would you even think that? No. What? No.
Lane, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Are you going to betray us in the end?
Never. Of course not. Hey, have you updated your will recently?
One thing I want to talk about QAnon, like two things. So, the cloak that she was in, he,
aka generic mysterious desert bandit cloak.
Yeah. I like that well, outfit.
But
cool.
One of the coolest things though is the crack on the mask.
Yeah, that was neat.
In which it's like, okay, that explains it.
New scar, yeah.
No, it's like, all right, that explains why he hasn't been.
She, who cares?
At this point, use whatever.
Okay, she.
Shmli.
Z.
Yivo.
It.
Yeah, but basically, it's like, huh, so that's what the props, or the prop people were doing. So, like, almost got it. Damn it!
Just like they, like, mess up the perfect line, throw it into a huge pile of failures. Next!
Ironically, and again, this is just because I'm the horror hound of the group, that scar on the mask and the fact that it'll be a thing for now just reminds me of the hockey mask from Friday the 13th. It didn't have the axe mark in it until part 3, but all movies after remember to keep that axe mark into it. So, yeah, watch Friday the 13th.
Okay.
He kicks
all of them!
You won't.
I'll only watch it. I can't remember which one it was. It was the one where the boxer was fighting him on the roof.
That was Friday the 13th, part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
That was freaking hilarious. Oh,
yeah.
I love that we live in a world where that is actually a movie.
I'm like, whoa, okay.
Jason Takes Manhattan. It's a movie. He spends about 8 minutes in Manhattan.
No,
they had literally
yeah.
2 days to shoot Manhattan.
Yeah, this guy like wails on him for like a good 2 minutes, like boxing him. And then, because I saw a clip of this, and then literally when he like punches his head off, all you hear is dun 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 dun.
Wouldn't that be great if that was in the actual movie?
But yeah,
speaking of Sentai,
Kenji,
he's turning into a fucking werewolf,
like,
you guys.
The plot point we called back when he got scratched, Kenji's turning into a yokai.
He feels super bad about it. Like, he doesn't want to fucking tell anyone else.
Just like every other turning into a monster
well,
plot.
Actually, I mean, okay, this one has a little more, like, belief to it. The fact was, his brother and dad were killed by a werewolf,
yeah.
So he's ashamed to become one, you know, become something like what killed his family.
But here's the thing.
So, yeah, I mean, I hate that bullshit plot of just tell them they're your friends, they'll understand, but it makes a little more sense here.
Here's the thing. It's halfway a coincidence that he's turning into the yokai that killed his family just because that's the one that happened to scratch him. He does not mention the whole family connection once this whole episode, so that's kind of not brought up, though I admit it should be.
Yeah.
But the whole, yes, I'm on board with you, the whole, like, oh, you know, I can't tell my friends, what will they think? Tell them I'm a yokai, blah, blah, blah.
They'll think you're their friend, and
they fought this hard for you this whole time, you stupid fuck.
Okay, major spoilers, kind of, for one of the best animated series ever. Y'all seen Young Justice, right?
Yeah.
Okay, spoiler, skip ahead about a minute, because this is, honestly, I recommend this to everyone to watch this fucking show. There is a moment, I'll say it a little quieter, because people are covering their ears here.
Just, I'm joking.
There's a moment in the show where Miss Martian, you know, she's ashamed of her true heritage being a white Martian, right? They're like a big monstrous race.
Mm-hmm.
But then, later, like, towards the end of the show, when their friends find out, they're all like, yeah, okay. We're your friend. We don't care about something like that.
Yeah.
Hell, Connor, the guy she's dating, is like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my god!
Yeah.
It got it right, people! Yeah. Friends don't care about that shit.
And then the show got canceled.
Yeah.
Damn it! It was because of that, I tells you. That's like,
dare you portray a positive message?
I'm just picturing, executives in their studio with cigars.
Compassion!
You know why we're canceling this show, don't you? Because it portrayed teenagers not as the worst people who ever lived. We can't have that.
Alright, go for Godfrey.
Compassion!
You portrayed teenagers as compassionate and as heroes. No!
Teenagers need attitude!
Again, one thing that you guys were bringing up about how, like, the Sixth Ranger never tells, like, the actual team a problem, it brings me back to Zoo Ranger, where it's like, alright, every time I leave, I have a few, like, I lose more of my life. I should tell, you know, my brother, you know, the red guy. So I'm dying. How long do you have? An hour.
Gar, this isn't the Tokusatsu podcast. This is the Friday the 13th Final Justice podcast.
Clearly.
It's like an hour. Oh shit, we'll help you out.
The part where Jason came out of the boat at the end of the first movie and tried to grab her.
Okay, so I don't know if he's done this before, but Masakage's whole Maze of Doubt thing.
No.
It's fucking bullshit.
Just saying. It's fucking bullshit. Let's talk about the yokai.
I want to talk about the yokai a lot.
Yeah, the fucking surge protector centipede.
He had a plug dick.
He did have a plug.
I didn't even see it.
I did.
Of course you did.
Looked amazing.
It did. I want to talk about this for a minute. Gar, stop putting up your hand, please. It makes me feel
yell like the rest of us.
Here's what I mean. I like the suit design all in all. Like, the plug dick is an interesting choice, but other than that,
I genuinely didn't even notice.
When you look at the suit, it took me a while for me to realize why I liked it so much. Here's the thing. When they make monsters in Tokusatsu, generally they have the same basic body shape. Big shoulders, small head stuck in the middle. It looks big because obviously the actor needs room on the inside to move around. So they all basically have the same structure most of the time. This centipede monster, though, was really out there.
Because, like, the head was, like, extending around.
The whole body was all over, was, like, hanging off the top.
Yeah.
It was very, I don't know, it was very different looking. And it just, and to me, that stuck out. Because, as I said before, monster suits in Tokusatsu tend to blend in with one another. That's why I like the early yokai suits a lot. Because they looked like real, like, monsters. And I thought that was cool.
I think Paul has a counterpoint.
Paul, you got something to say?
Randall.
What?
From Monsters, Inc.
Oh, yeah. He does kind of have that, like...
looks like Randall.
That serpentine look, yeah.
Wait, you were like thinking... Randall. You were thinking Randall? I don't know why. I kept thinking, like, the centipede from James and the Giant Peach.
Well, it's a centipede.
Exactly. So I just kept thinking, all right, he's going to pull a smoke, he's going to pull a top.
And he's going to go, I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Because Nagi was wearing a Brooklyn shirt.
Yeah. Brooklyn.
But yeah,
wow, that tied in together very nicely.
Masakage brings in the whole entire maze thing, in which...
Bullshit maze.
It reminds me a lot of Cockeranger, because there was an episode where two yokais are having, like...
It reminded me of Yu-Gi-Oh! Because they played a maze, the labyrinth, and it was total bullshit, because when does that work?
It was honestly completely not needed.
I didn't even notice what's going on. They're like, there's a part where, like, the arrow on an arrow on the floor changes, and they're like, oh, the arrow changed, we can go forward. I'm like, wait, when the fuck did that happen?
Can we talk for a second about how the fucking demon blade of legend was just sitting in a goddamn office building?
Just one second.
It was right next to a golf club!
So what are you doing?
I'm padding the runtime.
What do you mean?
Because the labyrinth, we gotta pad the runtime.
But why?
Did you seriously just make that reference?
That's what it was. That's all it was. Yeah. That's why they had a labyrinth.
Absolutely.
I feel like they were saving that slot. Like, that was like one of their post-it notes in their writing office.
Maze of Doubt. Use when 5 minutes need to be filled.
Guys, I'm running short. Do it. Sorry.
It's just another post-it note. Like, fuck it. Like, why not?
Why not?
Fuck it. We got 14 episodes.
Sorry, Paul. You were saying about the umbrella.
Oh. What?
But no, we're talking about the demon sword.
In the umbrella stand.
And how it was just lying in a random office building.
Goddamn golf club. Why? Why was it there? Who put it there?
It's like...
For what reason?
Paul, so no one would look there.
Yeah, but Paul, it's like asking the Transformer, why'd you turn to a traffic light? Oh, because I protect traffic. You're out in the middle of the desert. There's no crosswalks.
Dude,
it's just one wrong road.
You know, we never even get an explanation why it's there. So if someone had said, why you keep it here? This is unsafe. Well, I mean, who's going to take a second look here?
No, but
the fact was, they didn't explain. It's just there.
The funniest part about the fact that it was in an office building was that apparently its location was actually imprinted on this very ancient ninja scroll that Nagi was reading.
And, like, he's just imagining, like, the show becomes really self-aware at one point. And so it'll be located on the fourth floor of the Nakatomi Plaza. Ha, ha, ha. Wait, this was written, like, 4,000 years ago, right?
Written by Nostradamus.
Like, what is even the thought process behind this?
You know what this episode is?
If this show... I will... Sorry, Gar. all will be forgiven in this show for me if it just turns out that Yoshitaka was a giant troll this whole time. And all this was...
He orchestrated everything!
This whole thing is a test to see... Like, no, an actual test devised by him. They're all just... It's not... That could explain the costume.
Yeah, we
They're not ninjas. They're kabuki ninjas.
No, we find... No, like... we find out the demon sword. It's like, oh, Grandpa, we found the demon sword. Was in a... we found it in, like, a thing next to a storage closet next to, like, a golf club. Oh, that's where I put it.
I almost didn't spit take that.
I actually have a theory, and this seems pretty likely from my viewpoint. I'm pretty sure that the demon sword is going to turn into the Gekiyatsu katana that he uses to get his super form.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably.
And also, we all fucking knew from the start. She's like, oh, yeah, it's going to heal you. No, it's going to enhance your power.
Wait, I was the only one that actually fell for it?
Yes.
Yes.
Also Kenji. So you're not alone, actually.
Yellow sink alike.
Also.
Gold.
Fucking.
Kenji's gold.
Can we say Key Ninja Chozette's fucking badass as hell?
You know what I was going to say was badass? When they all jumped out of the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roll call out the building.
Yeah, another, like, unique roll call moment, because they did the other one where they were running alongside the ninja, Hayabusa.
The show actually does a really, really good job of keeping the roll call fresh and interesting.
Tokyujir has the best one ever.
No.
Tokyujir has the best one visually, I think. I really like that, the way it looks.
You know, going back to it all, I think the reason they're not going to do Tokyujir and Power Rangers is just because of Bow and Arrow.
You know... I was gonna say something, I think you're right. Which is dumb, because they could easily cut it out.
No, but you can. It's
they could easily chop it off.
Oh, we're gonna be a Jewish Megazord, you say.
Also, it was really interesting when, like, he grew big or whatever like that.
Whoa,
and,
whoa.
No, like, the yokai.
So, sorry, after talking about train butter and you...
Yeah, you grew really big. Sorry.
I liked that it, like, darkened the sky and stuff, and they were, fighting in the...
Yeah,
in, like,
to what you were saying, though, yes, Nagi Chozetsu looked great.
Awesome attack. Fucking spinning one?
Yeah, like, it was like... I liked it.
He just knocked the dude up and just went fucking... Direct vertical slap.
You know, I'm glad that, you know, we're getting, like, at least more than just the red one being able to power up.
Yeah.
Still no girls.
Come on, Momo Ninja deserves it.
Because women can't fight. Don't you guys know?
Yeah, but we've already seen that Shishio actually,
you know
wants Kasumi. She's like, goes over to Kasumi in that one episode. It's like, oh, you're definitely worthy. And she's like, ah!
You know, that's a problem I still have with this whole genre. As much as they've gotten better with portraying women in these shows,
they still
let's be honest.
Yes.
Like, they're
Think about it. When fucking in Tokyujir, even when Yellow and Pink got their super forms, they literally fucking butt chucked them together, and they were both the hyper form at once.
Hence, why I think Shikendra did the power up the best. They all
got the turns.
But again, I honestly, I don't think there's an agenda here. I really don't hope there is, at least. But I feel it is more of a business move, like where it's just like, guys, let's be honest. How many Momo Ninja Chozetsus are we really gonna sell?
Well, that's
I hope that's the reason, at least. Well, it's not a matter of women can't do this. No.
Well, so here's the thing, though. From Bandai of America, I can see that. Bandai Japan, they hardly come up with any any toys at all for Chozetsu. The only thing that we got for Chozetsu right now is Aka Ninja's final.
Yeah, but no, at the end of the day, there will be for all four of them.
I don't know why they didn't just sell, like, the Chozetsu armor as an addition and just attach it to the other figures.
Might be harder, who knows. Again, I just hope it's a business move, not an agenda.
Well, yeah.
At the end.
Like I said while we were talking about this in the beginning of Ninja, I did do the math. We only got, like, a good, I want to say, 13. Yeah. Like, 13.
It's unfortunate, but, you know, just, I guess. And that's our political talk.
Yeah,
on,
so anyways, Kenji becomes the new werewolf
yokai.
Yeah,
and I feel sad for him. Like, poor guy. Like,
well,
that was a theme we weren't expecting.
Oh, also,
the
I was werewolves. Expecting it. I also,
No. I mean, for this episode. Werewolves.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I really loved the fact that Kyuemon went back to saying, like, oh, yeah, when you were... Star Ninja Chozetsu, like, your final attack? No, you didn't defeat him using your attack, you defeat him using yokai power. And I'm like,
what?
Or, sorry, yo power, as they call it.
Yo power!
Yo-Kai Watch! Coming soon.
Metabots!
Actually coming soon.
Yeah, I fucking love that.
So yeah, next week, Yo-Kai Kenji goes nuts. Wait, Masakage.
I feel like we're forgetting something here.
Not next week.
With the Megazord or something?
The week, 2 weeks from now, bro.
No, not 2 weeks from now.
Gekiyatsu did...
No, oh, sorry, no. I just wanted to say like that fight was pretty awesome.
Yeah, how the monster like extended its neck around the Megazord.
Cool. There was a Megazord. Oh right, yeah, there was.
I know, right? I try to forget Gekiyatsu exists also.
Fuck you!
I just forgot that there was a Megazord fight, and I remembered. Oh yeah, the Jiraiya Shuriken, in which shut up and take my money. I want that.
Yeah,
they'll probably never make.
Sekai should
actually again.
Sekai Ninja.
Since I wasn't here last week, quickly talk about last week's episode. Loved Metal Heroes joke where it's like. Man, you're old. Old? I'm like early 40s. You're like, you're probably the same age as my son.
Hey, in this franchise, 28 years old is old.
Again, you haven't seen Deckranger 10 years after.
No, not yet.
We should have. Speaking of future topic!
Well, next week we get to see Yo-Kai Kenji go nuts, Masakage actually fights, and Elvis form, aka Superstar Ninja.
Speaking of Elvis form!
Actually, yeah!
Featured...
We originally were going to watch the 10-year Deckranger movie for tonight.
Special, yeah.
Yeah, the special. But then we had a thought. It's Halloween. We should do something Halloween-themed.
And then all my hearts and dreams got shattered.
And then it
all
was
your hearts? This is Zelda?
No, he's
it's okay.
He's a Time Lord. He's got two.
It's okay, Gar, because we'll do it next week when we start our Ichi.
We'll find out after we're done the feature topic.
But the Deckranger... You're mixing up topics.
Anyways,
we'll figure it out later.
Mixing up topics. Anyways, so we decided to watch something Halloween themed, and because you know Halloween's meant to be fun, we decided what's funner than watching old school Power Rangers.
Well, first we were going to do Kamen-Rider Shin, then we were like, but I brought up, well, Raven would love to talk about that. So then we moved on to the Power Rangers.
We don't know what the fuck we're doing.
And oh boy, was the Mighty Morphin one. I forgot how amazing
they,
this
like,
episode
I forgot how amazing old school Power Rangers really is.
So, yeah, we watched the Halloween episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which was episode 25.
I'll find the names for them in 1 second.
Episode 25 of season 1, which was... Yeah, you're going to have to look up the names. And then the other episode we watched was 23, I believe, of Zio, where it was called It Came from Angel Grove. I remembered that one.
Okay, no, the first one called, sorry, from season 1 of Mighty Morphin, Life's a Masquerade.
Right.
And then from Zio, It Came from Angel Grove.
Yeah.
So we watched both of these just because, haha, funny, Power Rangers, Halloween. Interesting, though, the second... one wasn't so much about Halloween as it was about old school movie monsters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the first one first, just because Power Rangers, yo.
God, I love that monster. No, like, no. Just...
So it's Halloween in Angel Grove, and everyone's...
And they're having a costume dance at the fucking juice bar.
In the middle of the goddamn day.
Because that's the thing to do when you're the kids...
You got the kids these...
You know, when you got those 20-year-olds acting like 16-year-olds...
When you got, then these 16-year-olds act nothing like 16-year-olds because they're always volunteering to help out at the juice bar.
Exactly.
And they're setting up the Halloween costumes and antics happen because Power Rangers and
Vulcans. So first let's talk about who's dressed up as who.
Okay, so this was the interest. Oh, let's start off with the least interesting. Kimberly is a princess because...
Because girl. She's the princess.
Suck up, girl.
Trini was Pocahontas. Oh my.
Oh!
Oh no.
Or she might have been Sacagawea.
That's so
I'll
much
kick
better.
You in your Sacagawea.
Billy was Sherlock, and as Paul mentioned, it was actually a pretty good Sherlock costume.
Yeah.
I liked how he incorporated the blue into it.
Yeah. Now, and he kept smoking a fake pipe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, phallic symbol.
Oh my god. Yeah, David Yost with a phallic symbol.
We made
thought.
A joke about that while we were watching that. We were going to keep this classy.
This show's not classy.
Have you watched this?
Have you heard us?
No.
Have you met me?
No.
But the interesting thing, hell, I guess they called it years ago. Okay, Jason was Robin Hood, Zach was Tutankhamun.
Ghost Precursor?
Oh my.
Okay.
That was just, like, I mean, obviously...
Obviously it's
they're
not
going with
at
just,
all.
Like, general, but that's just an interesting coincidence.
No, not to be racist, black guy is Tutankhamun.
Okay, well, Tutankhamun was Egyptian.
The funny thing is, when they morphed in that episode, like, while they were screaming out their dinosaur name, I just screamed over them their costume name. Princess! Native American! Tutankhamun! Sherlock! Robin Hood!
But the highlight of the episode, well, not, sorry, no, it was actually a good episode, but one of the best aspects, again, Vulcan Skull, when they're, apparently they're hanging out in their room, and at first I thought, wait, do they live with each other? No, wait, they got parents.
Yeah.
When they're going through their costumes with each other, like, what are they going to be? And they come up with some good ideas, like, what was one of them they did?
The one I remember the most was Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Pan and Captain Hook.
They did Peter Pan and Captain Hook, and just, oh my god, Vulcan tights.
A horse,
yeah, they like the two half of the horse costume.
Which
but
was
the
super creepy.
The best one, though, because it's just great, like, you see, they're Elvis, both of them Elvis, but as Skull puts it, I'll be young Elvis, and you'll be, older Elvis.
Old Elvis.
Like, you know, Skull Elvis, he's like, he looks good, he's got the suit, like, it's actually a tight little suit.
Bulk is Hollywood Elvis.
Like, oh my god, like, like, all fat, like, the one who, the one who died on the toilet Elvis.
Yeah!
Or so we know.
And then they actually start, like, doing a little dance routine, and it's not bad until Skull kicks Bulk in the fucking back.
Oh my god, he did.
Oh, I'm going down!
But then they go to the party.
No, I just want to say something. It's been said before, and it's very true. While by no means was this a bad episode, in fact, I did dare say I had a lot of fun with this, Bulk and Skull could really save an episode if it was bad.
Absolutely.
Like, looking back, there is just a magic between them.
Yeah.
Just like Jason Narvi and Paul Schreier, like, God bless them. Like, they're just the best. And, I highly recommend to everyone, go watch, like, their Q&A videos, because they are, like, best buddies. One of their Q&A videos literally starts out with them wrestling on stage, throwing chairs. Like, it's the best.
One of my favorite episodes that featured them was always the one where there was, like, a talent contest. And Skull's, like, afraid to show off his actual piano playing skill.
He's got, like, classical
because he thinks Bulk will hate him for it, but he goes on stage and plays it, and Bulk is like, mesmerized
and
amazed.
Not even that.
It
was at the end of it all where he goes, like, that was really great, Skull. But I thought you said it was for dweebs. Did I?
I was wrong.
I was wrong. And you're just like, is that character development I see?
I have actual tears in my eyes.
That was the sweetest moment in that show.
The best part of this episode.
Anyways, back to the Halloween episode.
They're at the juice bar, celebrate, and who comes through the door? Alpha 5.
Alpha came to the Halloween party and gets all the bitches. Literally.
All of them. Zach was just like, so fair, man.
No, it's not even that. Zach's, like, they all see it. They're like, shit. Guys,
I'm
Alpha's here.
Fuck, huh?
Yeah,
I'm
Billy's
pimping
like,
as fuck, you guys.
But yeah, Billy's like, Alpha, what are you doing here? And he's like, well, I don't know why I'm doing my betters impression, but...
It's not too far off.
Well, I can't really hang out with you guys, but since it's Halloween, this is the perfect opportunity.
That was actually a nice aspect of it.
Yeah, which is actually a really smart idea.
You know what I was just picturing, though? Like, and like I was honestly expecting this, the way their hands were moving. I was really thinking, like, one of the girls would go, who are you under there? And I, like, pull his head off.
Yeah. Freaking Bug was on the bus, so it's like, yeah, who are you?
The best part when he turns to Skull, give me a can opener. And Skull just pulls a can opener out of his pants.
Those two always had the best comedy. You know what the best joke... I'm sorry, again, from a different episode, but just when else do we talk about Bulk and Skull?
Yeah.
The best joke I've ever heard was, like, they're reading a letter, like, Bulk gives Skull a letter that he found in his locker, right? And he's like, I found that in my locker. Do you know what that means? To which Skull says, yes, someone knows the combination to your locker.
I love it.
That is good comedy.
I'm sorry, but that's how I got through my Emorphin, was just through Balkan Skulls. Just stupid.
Another cool thing about this episode, and I'm guessing the reason they made it a Halloween episode, Monster of the Day was Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Like, not called Frankenstein's Monster, but...
The actual monster that Rita produced was a Frankenstein's monster.
And he fuck shit up!
No, this is gonna be where I come in to talk, but, like, I'm just gonna go straight to the Megazord fight, because...
So today!
Holy fucking shit!
Oh yeah, Lane, like, that was their mentality about this whole thing.
Just, he fucked, I thought he was gonna destroy that the Dino Megazord!
I was, like, genuinely surprised. That was one of the better Megazord fights I've ever seen.
There's this one shot that I love, sorry, guy. There's this one shot I love where, like, freaking the Megazord gets the power sword and he, like, hits on the monster and the monster just does, like, a forward motion going, ha-ha! Like, it didn't affect me. And
the sword, like, bounces off his chest.
I laughed so hard. It was so amazing.
No, like, can I, since I've actually seen all of Zyuranger, because I pirated it, long story.
Stop saying that.
Do you want to know the reason why the fight was so intense?
Why?
Because basically, in Zyuranger, this was around the halfway point where Witch Bondora was releasing Satan to...
Witch Bondora's Rita, by the way.
Yeah, Witch Bondora's Rita, in which she was going to take over the world with Satan. So, basically what happened was, she needed to collect 13 children for some odd reason, I don't know why. So, just to keep the Rangers distracted, she created a monster that was, like, indestructible. In which they didn't show it off in this episode, but there's another episode of Mighty Morphin, right after this, literally, in which they fight a monster where it's, like, all muscle and, like, bone, and he has the Frankenstein weapons. Why? Because once they destroyed the Frankenstein monster the first time, his skin actually, like, exploded off, and he became that monster.
Yeah. I gotta watch that.
We're gonna watch Zyuranger.
And then they're like, how are we supposed to defeat this? And thus, that's why Titanus comes in.
What?
King Brachion.
That's awesome!
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Can we just also say, too, that Frankenstein's antics in the juice bar...
Yeah, like, in the middle of the dance, he tries to, like, swipe at people, and they think he's dancing.
Meanwhile, it's on the news, and over in, I forget the town name, but Beetleborg Town.
Like Charterville.
Charterville. They're watching the news. Frankenbean, you know him?
That's my cousin.
It's Frankenbeans.
I said Bean.
You said Bean.
Oh.
It's Mr. Bean.
That was it. It's always interesting to see when they have the costumes, like, in America.
I am, for some odd reason,
and, oh, best
Tommy
thing.
Was in the episode.
Of course Tommy was in the episode. He's the fan favorite. Although, Ernie's line was the best. Don't worry, it's just an earthquake!
Which, I mean, it's
California, but at the same time, like, just... Oof. I didn't know you could be that nonchalant.
And what bothered me the most was, like, Rita and, like, a bunch of putties were making, like, this giant, like, ball out of Play-Doh or whatever.
The putty.
And the entire episode... She's just floating on going, ah, you're all fucked, ah, and I'm like, okay.
I don't know, they swear so much.
Again, in Zyuranger, the big giant club ended up being the clay that Puyi Puyi Kun, aka Fencer, used to create the super, like, the stronger putty.
So again, they just had to use the footage they had.
Yeah,
it's so very much an early. I just love that episode.
So Rita floats into town on this little ball of putty.
Play-Doh.
It's adorable.
Play-Doh. It is, and she's like, "Ha ha! I'm going to destroy you, but not quite yet. So have a nice day." Almost exactly.
While we were watching the episode, one of the hilarious things was how they go back to the party, and I don't know which one of us said, but it's like, thousands died, but let's go back to partying.
Yeah, no, really. You see houses falling into crevices.
And like, people running.
Before we talk about the next episode, I just want to say, because again, we're not going to get the chance to with the next episode, because it didn't happen, this Megazord fight was amazing. And not even just the Megazord fight itself. I mean, it was great just to see the sparks going everywhere. There's one, I honestly feel it was like a malfunction in the cockpit set, where you just see, like, sparks are coming down, but I feel like one of them was, like, moved or something, because two of them were going on to the Black Ranger, and he's freaking out.
Oh, you know what else we didn't mention about the Frankenstein monster? His fucking neck bolt nunchucks and how he somehow pulled the chain out of his neck.
She's like, how'd you get that off?
I don't know!
It's like Bender. Both his arms fall off and Abel's to put him back on. How do you do that?
Oh, and then it ends with Tommy, like, oh.
Oh, Tommy's in this! Yeah, sorry.
No, and then he goes to put on his costume, he comes out, and he's dressed up as the Frankenstein, and then they're like, oh shit! I got you guys. I got some inspiration for my costume. What do you think?
Tommy, you're a dick.
I was like, you asshole!
And Alpha won the costume contest.
Oh, of course.
And the winner of the costume contest is.
Whoever the fuck this is!
Like, whoever this guy is. That's the line.
Yeah. Whoever this guy is. And it's like, let's see you underneath that. Sorry, ladies.
Ooh, gotta go.
He's, that's the That's literally like, sorry, ladies, I got to go. And you see him waddle off like a fucking penguin.
Just like trots off. Peace, bitches.
So that was the first episode. That was the first Halloween Power Rangers ever.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun.
It was fantastic.
Oh, wait, wait. I got Alpha 5 walks out of the juice bar, hangs out with Crichton from Red Dwarf, and then they drive off into the sunset on the motorcycle.
Let's roll. No one gets that but you.
Well, pull me.
I get Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf? Eh.
Thank you. That was my opinion when I watched the first episode. I was like, meh.
Oh, y'all suck.
You didn't watch all of it.
Moving on to the next episode.
The next episode, episode 23 of Zio, it came from Angel Grove.
Did it truly come from Angel Grove?
Apparently.
It came from Adam's Dreams, which is in Angel Grove.
Ooh. Oh.
So, the whole thing is...
I know.
Immediately see the better production value, because we see the school, and there's, like, lightning and moon effects, and, you know, it's cheesy, but it's powerful.
Like, opening shot, dark and stormy night.
So... Adam and Aisha, or is that Tanya?
Tanya.
That was Tanya. They're studying because it's high school.
Like 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, at the school. I'm like, wait, what the hell?
They killed the security guards.
Hell, even apparently.
No, Bulk and Skull are the security guards.
Hell, even apparently Adam stayed the night. I guess you can do, like, if it was a college, it'd make more sense. But hey, Power Rangers. And the whole thing of this is, Adam is watching a movie called, like, The Bride of...
Bride of Hackensack.
Hackensack, which just...
Jesus.
That's apparently the nemesis of Scarf and Hat.
Yeah.
That sounds like something fatal.
That's such an in-joke.
That is such an in-joke. It's inside me.
That's
it's practically concave.
Pay attention to Iggy Studios news for Scarf and Hat.
So, the whole thing of the episode is Adam falls asleep and he wakes up and he walks through the school and there's a black cat he's following for reasons. And who appears in the school, and it's just, this is again one of those things that you can only get out of Power Rangers. The fucking Zed and Rita on the stairway of his high school.
And it took me a few minutes to realize, oh right, this is Zio, these guys aren't supposed to be here.
And the whole thing of the episode is, he's gotta get the, like, stuff from monsters, like the cape of
a vampire, the wrappings of a mummy, the eye of a cat,
and the hair of a werewolf.
And something from a witch. I forget.
That was the eye of a cat.
Oh, was it?
She was the witch.
Oh, yes. Fair enough.
Oh, yeah.
And then the movie does the show does a 180 and becomes fucking gorgeous.
What happened to the color?
Literally, because Adam walks into a scene.
Walks into a scene and it just turns black and white. Because this was a Halloween episode, but this was paying homage more to the old school Universal movies, like the Draculas, the Wolfman, the Mummies, the Frankensteins.
The title of it is called "It Came From," Angel Grove, which is a reference to "It Came From the Black Lagoon."
But there's no movie called "It Came From the Black Lagoon."
That's the creature from the Black Lagoon.
There's a movie called "It Came From Beneath the Sea."
Okay, that's what I'm thinking.
It's okay, Gar. You'll learn about movies one day.
Even I knew that.
I'm going to school for film.
And you are failing miserably.
Moving on.
Anyway, and I loved it. I know Paul loved it. Like, Paul freaked out when... there he goes. Paul freaked out when you saw what the whole thing was going to be. It's a black and white movie. It's an old school movie.
Yeah.
And the sets were gorgeous. And... you know, for the most part, it looked good in black and white. I actually thought, like, when they were doing the outdoor scenes, it was like, the lighting wasn't too good.
Yeah.
But the indoor stuff looked really good. And the best thing about the whole episode was seeing which rangers were which monsters.
Actually, speaking of the first one, Jesus Christ. So the first one was Tommy as a vampire, and his fucking name was Tomacula.
And just, like... Jason David Frank was having the time of his life here.
I was like, hey, look, you learned to act.
Not well.
I think my favorite,
loosely. I loved how his teeth were clearly too big for his mouth. My name is Focula.
You see my face? You see any acting there? I don't see any. Either.
To which we cut back to, what's it called, Charlestown?
Charterville,
and they go, hey,
Fang, you know that guy?
Oh, yeah, that's my nephew.
I think my favorite, like, makeup was with Ernie, because, like, they made him look like kind of like a zombie.
Yeah,
he
like
actually, had, like, you know, the blank eyes.
Oh, yeah, that was creepy.
Order up.
Yeah, and I was like,
Actually, one thing that was cool.
What was really cool was the amount of dry ice they're putting in those drinks. I'm like, prop guy, you want to take it easy there?
Sir, your drink is steaming.
I'm just like, was that the whole reason this episode was made? It was like, we got all this dry ice. You want to do a Halloween episode?
weird place to have a surplus of.
Do you guys want any dry ice? And it's like, no. Well, I don't know where it's going.
Power Rangers Halloween episodes.
Okay.
Opens envelope. Weird things to have a surplus of dry ice for.
I'm just so fucking laughing.
We have fun on the show.
We have fun. Especially.
All right.
Sorry, Lane. Oh, no, you mentioned the Ernie.
Yeah.
That was cool. And next one was, what was the next one?
Werewolf.
Harry the Werewolf.
Get it?
And played by Rocky.
Rocky was the werewolf in this one, and he's doing his best British accent. Wasn't bad.
Eh.
This was the segment I had the least fun with, just because, like I said, the lighting wasn't good. Because they were shooting outdoors, so it got really dark, because it was in black and white.
Yeah.
And to shoot outdoors black and white, it takes a special skill. It didn't work out as well. Jesus Christ, though. Fucking quaff wolf over here.
Yeah.
When Rocky finally turns, after a chase from some real wolves.
Yeah.
Is that a werewolf?
And by real wolves,
real wolf.
By real wolves, I mean intercut footage of wolves running.
Yeah.
To them running. And when he turns into the wolf, it's just the, like, goofiest thing.
It looks like Billy quaff Ray Cyrus fuck. Fused with freaking, Rob Schneider's werewolf from Hotel Transylvania.
Oh, God. Rob Schneider wasn't the werewolf in that. It was Steve Buscemi.
Right, it was Steve Buscemi. Who's Rob Schneider?
I don't think he was in those movies.
A stapler.
Rob Schneider is... Zordon.
No, Zordon was the fucking... We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
He was the comic relief from...
Actually, Lieutenant Stone was...
Then Lieutenant Stone was like the
inspector. Burgermeister.
The Burgermeister. Burgermeister Meisterburger. And he had two dogs, and you thought that was supposed to be Balkan's skull.
No, they showed up later.
Yeah. And, they did. And, like, we get into, like, this tomb, this cave area, and we see...
Which was probably the exact same cave they used in the last Halloween episode
probably.
When Billy went searching for Frankenstein.
Good old Bronson Caves. and we see a professor hunched over, and credit to the show, actually, because even Adam said, Billy?
Yeah.
You turn,
it was Billy.
It's fucking Skull!
Yeah.
Skull is the professor.
Which was surprising.
Which, that's one thing that I really enjoyed. They didn't just keep the Rangers to, like, being the creatures. They also had Balkan Skull. Like,
Skull and Lieutenant Stone. And but then we're just like, wait a minute. If Skull's the professor...
Awkward pan to the very fat sarcophagus.
Very large sarcophagus.
Oh, he's in there, ain't he?
And lo and behold, when he opens that thing up...
And then immediately gets... pants by pulling off his wrappings.
Oh, no. Jesus, though, like I never thought I'd see Paul Schreier's man boobs, but there they were, just for all the glory.
At least they were in black and white.
But now it's like, he's over there, isn't he? Dora the Explorer. Forget.
Very good!
I almost feel like that would have been like, because that had to have been a specially made prop, that XLR sarcophagus.
Absolutely.
So I'm just picturing them making it, like,
just like,
what the hell are we
stand
doing?
Here and we're going to sculpt this thing around you.
Like, they're like, no, they're taking his measurements.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they're called, like, okay, this much. And the guy writing them down, like, he's never heard these measurements in relation to what they're building.
They have to get a second measuring tape.
Bring in the crane!
We're gonna need way more plaster!
Paul Schreier, if you ever hear this...
We love you.
We love you so much.
I'm freaking dying.
Do we?
Yes.
Do we really?
Yes. Do you not, Lane?
I do.
Of course.
He must frequently visit the vet, because those pythons are sick.
Who is this Balkan Skull? All
right.
This episode's a lot of fun, in case you didn't know.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna live.
Okay,
you think you're gonna live?
Second last had one of the greatest in jokes we've ever seen. So we get to what is Frankenstein's laboratory, right? Where there's Billy.
There he is.
And he's got this fucking huge wig and he's putting on the accent. It's a lot of fun. And playing his assistant Igor is Alpha, which, you know, makes sense. Alpha's the assistant.
The technical assistant.
Yeah, and, you know, he put a hump on him. Okay. Then he lifts up his eye patch. And when I was a kid, I thought that was really cool looking. He has three eyes.
Aye, aye, aye.
It took fucking almost just over 20 years for me to get that joke.
I think we all did.
It, like, I saw them, and I'm like, why are there three eyes? Oh, fuck!
Like, oh, like, that is just... That is subtle.
Then we see Aisha.
And the best part was that they didn't call attention to it.
No, they didn't, like just, I. There it is. Like, oh, fucking me. Imagine, like, we're just pulling this out of our asses, and, like, they're like, oh, my God, we did make that pun.
It had to be intentional.
It had to.
Just the voice actors of Alpha was just like, fuck.
You know,
fuck me!
You know, I'm just the biggest Frankenstein fan, though, that, like, I love whenever they do parodies of it. Like, my favorite will always be in Beast Wars with Megatron and Waspinator.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, master! Like, but this was great, too. This is up there. And, yes, sorry, Lane, you were saying.
Yeah, Aisha...
Tanya.
Oh, it's Tanya?
It is Tanya.
Aisha was the...
Aisha fucked up the time paradox.
I'm so sorry. Anyways.
Aisha fucked up the time paradox.
Tanya, like... sits up as the bride of Hackensack, and oh boy, is she scary looking.
She did a great face there.
Which you will notice is the thumbnail for this week.
No, her entire role was good. Like, just she, started she like, maniacally laughing and shit, and I was like, wow.
She did the laugh really good.
Is my laugh better?
No. It's scary, and I don't want you doing
Gar,
it ever again.
Gar, as much as I wish you were, you are not a mid-20s black woman.
Okay. Like women?
You are not a woman.
I love women.
I love women.
They're so bad.
Poked Gar with my sword.
So, after that point, the cat turns into the witch, and then Adam
who's
pulls
played
up,
by Cat.
Fucking
side. For like 10 seconds before he like plucks her eye out or whatever.
She's like,
no, he doesn't pluck her actual eye out. He plucks the little eye jewel she's got around her neck.
And then she melts. Which segues. And brilliant... editing here, by the way. Adam goes into another section of the school. There's a big flash of lightning and smoke, and then it's in color again. Wait, why is it in color? Cut to
power chamber.
Oh my God, Zordon's the goddamn Wizard of Oz.
I am Zordonicus.
No,
literally.
And then we heard a thing that I'll never hear again: Zordon maniacally laughing. Like,
and I was just like, this right here was the primary reason you should all go watch this episode right now.
It is brilliant in just its execution, and just that. Like I said, that was amazingly subtle. Just plop of smoke. We're in Wizard of Oz color, motherfuckers.
But just, like, hearing Zordon sound evil is...
with fire going up around him.
Both hilarious and actually a little traumatizing.
Just like, Zordon... No, Zordon, no!
And then you see, like, where like, the old Mighty Morphin suits are stored. And just...
He's captured
the
other Rangers.
Are just
He's
in there.
For the Rangers. And because we have stock footage we have to use this
From
episode...
From O-Ranger Episode 1...
You must choose one of your friends to fight the drill master.
What did Tommy do? Tommy!
And then
Good
Tommy's
selection.
Like,
hey, fuck you!
Yeah, Tommy's like, what am I doing here?
Which was, and as you said, this was the first episode of O-Ranger. And in that one, the Red Ranger obviously was the first one to get his powers. So that's the footage they had to match.
That shot of his final attack.
Oh my God, match. Like, he goes with his sword straight
just down.
Pencil's eye!
And I think O-Ranger was taken seriously.
I'm just picturing, like, after that, you see, like, a bunch of, like, other monsters put up, like, tens.
I just love that the fucking monster in that footage was clearly Gardramon.
Oh, God, it was.
And then,
I love, too, how Adam kept saying, let me help, I gotta help. And I'm like, we're all expecting, oh, is he gonna help? No.
Sorry, we don't have that footage.
Yeah,
we don't
have and then they fuck Adam over, and then, like, King Mondo shows up in front of the two.
It was King Mondo the whole time!
Spoilers!
And then all the monsters and all these cogs or whatever are fucking, like, surrounding
him.
Like,
it became a zombie thing, where just, like, they all surround him and bring him to the ground. I'm like, oh,
choke on me!
Yeah, I really wanted, like, I was, because Adam was, like, doing, like, shoddy acting, just going, like, oh, you tricked me! Ah, and I was just, I really wanted him to yell, like, you bastard!
Johnny Young Posh, he wasn't that great to begin with.
I just remembered a scene from earlier in this episode. Right after he's just before he steals the vampire's cape. Remember where he like backflips off the stairs?
Oh yeah, like the most unnecessary backflip ever. Like, and that's saying
like,
something for Power Rangers.
It's like, you can't stop me. And then at the next moment, all the statues that are around start turning into cogs, and I immediately scream, "Oh great, you've put a cog in my plan!"
Ichi likes puns, if you didn't know. And, like...
It sounded better while
so
we were watching.
So, after they zombie ate him, he woke up. It was all a dream.
Damn!
Hey, usually we're all there.
They make that joke.
Yeah.
We're all there.
Hey, to be fair, that's how I ended all my stories in grade 1. And then I went to bed.
You bastard.
you know, as much as I dislike that plotline, it was all a dream. It worked for this.
Yeah.
Because this was meant to be a fun little homage.
Very clearly a filler episode.
It was there. This is the essence of filler. But, I had so much fun with this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I love the ending joke, too, where they're just like, hey, they're rerunning that movie again. Should we watch it? No, Adam, thanks.
I've lived it.
Be a Marks fan. Fuck you.
Bloopers.
Yeah.
Bloopers weren't really that
Overall, the episode itself was, like I said, had a lot of fun. If you're into old school monster movies and you're into Power Rangers, perfect marriage of the two.
Absolutely.
This was so much fun.
Yeah, I personally like the Mighty Morphin one more.
Really?
Because, like, you know me, I'm a man who loves fucking action and shit, and just that Megazord
Yeah, not a lot of action in this one. There's no Megazord fight.
No Rangers.
There's one Ranger.
Oh, yeah, that's one.
But it's in a, like, yeah, just seeing...
It's random and in a random location.
I think they're both good for different reasons.
The
first one had, yeah, great action. And it had a lot of, like, fun little, like, you know, haha, their costumes are kind of funny.
Yeah.
But the Zio episode, like I said, if you're into movie monsters at all, this is just, like, I was genuinely surprised how good it was.
Yeah.
Like, how good of an homage.
But yeah, you're right. They're both great for different reasons.
And you know what else was great about this, though? Watching old school Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, something especially with the, You're Not a Warrior... As I was watching the Mighty Morphin episode, good God, are those Zords gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when that Megazord stands up,
yeah.
When it fuses with the Dragon Zord,
those scenes are still fun to watch,
yeah.
And even now, we're all following along with the sequence. Megazord sequence has been initiated.
Megazord activated! I still love the shot where it shows, like, them in the cockpit, like, behind their helmets or whatever, and you just see them, like, looking up as
they're rising. That's a great shot.
Like, that's an amazing shot!
You don't see stuff like that anymore.
No.
Yeah, it's all CGI.
Not even in Power Rangers.
It's not even CGI. It's like these angles are different.
You don't even see scenes like that in Sentai anymore, if you come to think of it.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's a bit of a lost art. But overall, Power Rangers is a lot of fun. If you're into Halloween and you want to see some Power Rangers Halloween, these are the two I recommend.
Next, we'll be checking out the Thanksgiving episodes if there were any.
I think there were for Power Rangers.
Yeah, there was a Thanksgiving joke.
Wasn't there that one with the pig?
That was just food fight.
That was just greedy pig.
Next, guys, is Christmas time.
Well, actually...
Yeah. Well, if it's Christmas!
Yeah, actually,
I was going to say, Thanksgiving is only nearby in America. We already had Thanksgiving.
I knew.
It's the real one.
It is. Yeah. Can I bring up our idea for November?
Well, it's not final, but yeah.
We're doing it.
Okay.
I want to do... Basically, throughout November, for a feature topic, each week, we're going to be watching 3 episodes of Kanpai Senshin After 5.
To celebrate the release of its second season,
so
which
we don't know what that is, it's literally a Sentai team in a bar talking about shit after their battle.
Well, actually, it's Senshin. They're actually called a Sentai.
Yeah, it's Kanpai Senshin After 5.
It's more or less like...
It's a comedy show.
Yeah, it pokes fun at the whole Sentai.
It's like, isn't it great when the robot did this? But it's actually... Let's put it this way. It's one of the only Sentai shows where by the end you will have the biggest feels for the villain.
Awesome. But I think it's time to bring us to an end.
Yeah. So
I just want to say happy Halloween to everyone out there who's whether you're going out, going to a party, stay safe. Make sure the holiday stays fun, basically.
Which cast ranger are you dressing as?
I'm dressing as Ichi.
And pre-book your dentist appointments, because you're...
For the last time, Lane, I know!
Good.
So
eat the nasty!
So, again, happy All Hallows Eve to everyone out there, and just have a spooky night.
And remember, go to Walmart November 1st, because that's when all the candy's going to be on fucking sale.
Good point.
You don't get to talk
about
Stop it! Give me that sword! Give me that sword! Follow us on Podbean, Facebook, Twitter, make ow noises, Gar. And all that good shit. We'll see you next week. I'm Pincaster. Good night!
Happy Halloween, everybody!
Ow.